So there's another woman whose historical reputation could use a bit of an overhaul, and that's Louisa May Alcott. You know her, or at least if you're a woman of a certain age, you know her, as the author of Little Women. But the children's book author was just the public side of Louisa May Alcott. The real woman wrote edgy thrillers about transvestites and twisted governesses and opium addicts. Biographer Harriet Risen set out to rescue Louisa May Alcott from her own reputation.
She was no little woman, and her life was no children's book either. She is so much more. She really was an enormous personality and quite a force.
Even as a girl, Louisa May Alcott was pushing boundaries. I mean, somewhat like her character, Jo March, she was a tempestuous tomboy kind of girl.
That's right. And she also seemed to have been born violent. She had tremendous aggression in her. And as a child, she hit everybody in the family. And she had a power struggle with her sister, Anna, who was about 15 months older than she was. And when she was about two or three, she beat up Anna.
It's interesting reading some of the documents that you quote in the biography there, letters between the parents, Louise's own diary entries. They kind of add up to a portrait of a girl who continually felt like a bad girl and who felt guilty a great deal for her own nature, her own temperament.
Yes, she did. She was made to feel guilty for it by her father, who pretty much equated being loved with being well-behaved. And Louisa wanted to be loved.
So there was this push-pull kind of thing going
Absolutely.
On for her.
Yes, she wanted to be independent. She wanted to live free. She said, I love luxury, but freedom and independence better. So people do think of her as sticking around home, but really she did that because they needed her, and she supported them all. Her moods, which were dramatic, really some people might say she was manic depressive or bipolar, and at one point, she came back from Europe, and for 6 months, she wrote nonstop. It's amazing. If you look at a list of everything she published in a given year, you won't believe it. But then, for 6 months, she stays in her room, and she says, can't get up, you know. And then the next month says, ditto, ditto. And then around April, she says, tried to get up, but fell back worse than ever. Finally, in June, she picks herself up, and she recommences writing.
Well, you mentioned her manic fits of writing. I mean, that's one of the other discoveries that's been made about her in our time is just how prolific a writer she was. You know, if you look just at her output as a children's literature writer, it's not that great. I don't know. How many children's books are there that she wrote?
She wrote eight.
Eight.
But she wrote for children because it earned her money. And before that, she'd written many, many thrillers and hospital sketches she wrote. That's her account of being a nurse in the Civil War. She wrote Moods, which was a novel that she worked on for 20 years off and on. And she wrote so many thrillers, at least 30, that have been discovered so far.
Well, that's what we should talk about, because that's
and poem.
You know, a kind of secret identity that she had as a writer of these lurid thrillers under another name, right?
Usually, actually, anonymous. One was published as A Lady from Massachusetts. She also used Flora Fairchild, which was quite transcendental, and A.M. Barnard. And A.M. Barnard turned out to be the clue to the rediscovery of her thrillers, which were rumored to exist but were not really found until 1943 and weren't published till 1976.
It's kind of a dramatic story of how they were found also.
Yes. Dr. Leona Rosenberg and Madeline B. Stern was Louisa's first full-length biographer, discovered in Houghton Library some correspondence between a publisher who asked Louisa for any more stories she could send along the line of Behind a Mask, under the name A.M. Barnard. So they knew there was Behind a Mask by A.M. Barnard, and boy, is it a doozy of a thriller. It is. Because it's like a feminist Jane Eyre. The governess is a complete fraud. She is an actress, and she wears a wig and false teeth. And although she claims to be 17, she is really an old woman of 30 at least. That's what it says. She goes into this family determined to marry one of the wealthy men in that family because her years as an actress are older. So you're rooting for her. You want her to succeed. She does.
And yet she's a villainous, an adventurer.
That's right. That's right. Isn't that? That's a complete subversion of those usual governess stories.
So tell me about the other thrillers that she wrote. Did they often feature women who broke the rules?
Oh, yes. There was transvestite one. There's a number of them where they take opium or are actresses, which was not an approved profession. And she wrote about hashish.
So which was the real Louisa May Alcott, the writer who wrote about transgression and addiction and obsession, or the creator of Little Women?
Not the creator of Little Women. No, she did that for the money. She took a royalty. Her publisher suggested she take a royalty arrangement, although it was very new, and really, that was a jackpot. She became a wealthy woman.
But how ironic that the book that she wrote essentially out of a false self was the one that brought her the success that she dreamed of.
Well, I think she started it as a false self, but she got into it. I think what was hard for her, perhaps, I don't know, was smoothing over the rough edges of her very difficult childhood. The March family and Little Women live in a kind of genteel poverty, and they have a servant. And the Alcott family lived in grueling poverty, where they were living on bread and water for long stretches of time, or an apple and bread. And she had to work. Louisa, from the age of 13, started earning money. So it's very much idealized and romanticized.
Well, so far, we're kind of sketching a portrait of a woman who struggled between two different sorts of identities for much of her life. So the good girl and the breaker of rules and boundaries. Did she ever manage to integrate those two different sides of herself?
Well, I would say as a nurse in the Civil War would be the time when she integrated those parts of herself. She volunteered and went down to Washington right after the Battle of Fredericksburg, where some 10,000 Union men were wounded. And within 3 days, she found herself assisting at amputations without anesthesia, washing men, you know, taking their clothes off and washing them, being very intimate with them in that way. But she was very angry. She was very angry at the South. And on the way down, she passed a spot where one of the Massachusetts regiments had been attacked by a Confederate mob. And she says something like, "I wanted to throw a stone at somebody hard." So she has that fist, you know, there. At the same time, she's wearing a nurse's apron and doing a very good job of being a gentle, kind nurse.
Harriet Risen's biography is called Louisa May Alcott, The Woman Behind Little Women. Coming up, the story of another complicated, controversial, and gifted woman, singer Nina Simone. I'm Anne Strainchamps. As to the best of our knowledge, from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.